Well, we're in this. We are in the church calendar season of Advent, which means that we are 4 Sundays away from Christmas. And this season comes from a Latin word that means arrival, and it celebrates the waiting for the arrival of Jesus. Now, this is both a historic event. It's celebrating the actual arrival in history of Jesus in Bethlehem. But it's also celebrating two other things at least. It's celebrating the coming of Jesus into our hearts by faith, as we've sung this morning, as well as waiting for Christ's arrival at the second coming. And so there's these multiple emphases that are built into the Advent season, that it helps us to look back and celebrate the coming of Jesus, yes. But it's also meant to help us look forward to his second coming and celebrate what Jesus is doing in our lives even today. And so part of this celebration, part of what the church has done over the centuries, over the millennia, has focused on different themes. The themes of Advent, and you probably know them all. So let's do a pop quiz. What are the traditional 4 themes of Advent? Now you notice, I just tweaked it a little bit, the traditional. What do you think? Anyone? I know, you're good Canadians. And good Baptists, yeah, well, that's the thing, too. Pardon me? Promise is not the first one. That's a good guess, though. Hope, right, who said hope? Yeah, that's a really good guess. And that tends to be, if a church sort of looks at a church calendar, hope tends to be the first one, and it has been the most popular, the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope. That is not the traditional one, though. And you could probably think of the other ones: hope, love, joy, peace. Those are the 4 that most churches now would say, oh, these are the ones, these are the themes of Advent. This is what the church has always looked at: hope, love, joy, peace on the 4 Sundays of Advent. It's just not true. That's actually a pretty recent innovation in the church's calendar, in the history of the church. The actual 4 themes are what has been traditionally called the 4 last things. These are the themes that help us to look back at what Jesus has done and forward to what Jesus is doing. And the last 4 things are death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Now, this is really this is I think the challenge for us over the next couple of weeks, is that death, judgment, heaven, and hell are not meant for us to focus on those things just to be, just to beat ourselves with them, especially the first Sunday of Advent, a theme of death. It's like, oh, that doesn't really fit the Christmas season, does it? But actually, it is meant to draw us into a deeper sense of worship by reminding us what Christ has done when he did come the first time, so that we can look forward to his second arrival. The season of Advent just isn't about that one day in remembering a historical event. It's just not. And we would be remiss to think that that's all Advent was. Instead, Advent is a time when we can take a step back and reflect on all the different various senses of Christ's coming, to take stock of ourselves by, yes, reflecting on the end of our lives, but also on the resurrection of the dead and judgment, by focusing on the promise of renewal of all things that God has said is going to happen, and by looking to the vindication of the innocent that is certain to happen. And so today we're going to start with these 4 themes by reflecting a little bit on the theme of death. Because why not? Just to make us a little bit awkward. Put you in the Christmas season. Let's talk about death. Here's the thing, though. In saying this, I want to make it really clear. We are not reflecting primarily on the fact that we are all going to die one day. This is the truth. This is the reality of our situation in life. This is a statistic that is 100% true no matter what. 10 out of 10 people die. Right? We are going to die. And we can look at that and actually be afraid of it. Be afraid of our mortality, in a sense. But the reality is, death comes to us all, and it comes like a thief in the night. And Scripture says death is the last enemy to be destroyed. So it's with us until Christ comes again. But reflecting on death in Advent is not meant to reflect primarily on our mortality. It's not meant for us to just look at our own deaths and shudder. And it's because of what Christ has done when he came to earth. That Scripture describes Jesus conquering death and conquering sin and all of these things, which means that we shouldn't actually be afraid of death, even though we tend to be. And we shouldn't be afraid of it because our death is not the ultimate death. There is a death that is above all other deaths, in a sense, that actually gives a meaning to the universe, and it's the death of Christ. We see this in Romans chapter 6. So I'm going to read this passage to help us reflect on this theme of Advent. So Romans chapter 6, and just the first, we'll do the first 10 verses to start. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And so what shall we say? Obviously, death is a natural part of life, but there is a death that is more ultimate than our own, and that's the death of Christ. And that actually in our physical deaths, we are going to be participating in some sense in his death. We're experiencing it so that we can experience the fullness of the grace of God. But it comes with a promise of new life. This passage talks about it. Because Christ is raised from the dead, we don't have to fear death because we will be raised as well, just as he has been. But it's even better than that. Because this passage in particular tells us that we have been baptized with Christ, and if that's true, then we have been baptized into his death. Now, Paul's using, the author who wrote this passage of Scripture, is using this theme of baptism, the symbol of baptism, to make a really significant theological point. Describing baptism as being plunged into the death of Christ. We're plunged into the waters. If you can remember your own baptism, you're at least in Baptist circles, we do full immersion, and so you get pushed down, and then you have to wait to get pulled up. And it's a very strange experience, because all of a sudden you go from dry to wet. It's a different type of location. Like, you're very disoriented. Your eyes are closed. You can't hear anything. Like, all your senses just stop. It is like a death. Paul's pointing at that and saying when that happens, in that event, you are actually entering the grave with Christ. You're participating in his death. And when you rise up from the water, you're participating in his life. You're given new life, a resurrection life, just as Jesus has been given. In baptism, we're plunged into the waters and into the death of Christ, but then we are raised up to new life where the power of the resurrection is at work conforming us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is at work in us after our baptism, confirms our baptism. It produces the fruit of the Spirit, draws us away from the fruit of the flesh, and conforms us to the image of God's Son, Jesus. And all of that means is that if you are in Christ, you have already died. Yeah. In Christ, we've already died. We have died to sin. We've died to self. We've died to the flesh. We've died to captivity to the law, Paul goes on to say. And it's clear from this passage in Romans. What shall we say? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No, because we have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer if we've died to it? Don't you know that those who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, and we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we may too live a new life. And this is the point, I think, of this theme of Advent, is to remind us of our new life. It is to remind us that we are participants in the life of Christ in a sort of mystical way, that we participate in his death and he gives us new life. And it's in that new life that we now wait for his second coming. We wait for the resurrection of the dead, and we wait for sin to totally be gone from the world, for God to make all things right. We could describe sin a number of different ways. One of them is as behaving in a way that does not conform to God's character or commands. So this passage in Romans tells us that to be dead in sin means we are dead to living in rebellion to God. That we are no longer captive to the worst parts of us. We're no longer captive to our envy and our greed. We are no longer captive to our anger. We're no longer captive to all the things that would pull us away from Jesus. Our sin, all that captures us, was crucified and died on the cross with Christ. Christ has rescued us from those things. And in our baptism, we're participating in that death and then are given new life in Jesus. Which means that in a very important sense, we are already living the life of heaven. That it's not just a future hope. Heaven isn't just a future hope way out there. It is a reality that begins now in our own hearts and transforms our relationships, and one day God will bring the kingdom to its fullness in all of creation. But it's already a present reality. It's already a present reality in our lives. Jesus says, the first things he teaches in his ministry, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. And what he's telling us is you can experience this kingdom. You can experience having a good king who creates the boundaries within which you can flourish. Because that's what a king is supposed to do. And we can experience the core promise of heaven. The most important promise of heaven is that we have reconciliation with God. We can experience that now while we long for the full consummation of the kingdom and the righting of all wrongs when Christ comes again. And we can wait in the full knowledge that just as we are unified with Christ in his death, we are also going to receive his resurrection life. This text promises it. I think this has real implications for us in our faith today. Because if we have died with Christ in our baptism, we have surely already died. We're a community of the already dead. Every church. Who by faith know that mortal sickness may lead to a end, but it's certainly not the end. Certainly not. And what's more, our physical death is just a physical expression of a spiritual truth that we have died with Christ. But the promise of God is that we will also be physically resurrected, just as Christ was physically resurrected. Not replaced, not reincarnated, but our sin-scarred selves will be made new. In Advent, we don't just celebrate the coming of this baby. We also look forward into that baby's life and see all that that child who became a man accomplished for us through his death on the cross. And what has he accomplished? He allows us to die before death and be given new life before new life, before the fullness of that life comes to its consummation. But Paul hangs this entire teaching on baptism. He says, remember your baptism. This is an important moment in the life of Christians for exactly this reason, because it reminds us, it's sort of a moment in time where Advent that we participate in Advent in a very profound way. And so we can say this, just as a couple of final thoughts. Number one, be baptized. This text is really clear, I think. Baptism is actually important, because it is in that act of baptism that we die with Christ and we rise with Christ. So if you have not been baptized, come and speak to me, and let's get you baptized. But then for those who have been baptized, remember your baptism. Remember, especially in this season, that this is what Christ has done for you. That he has died for you, but then you have died with him by faith. And that God has risen him from the dead and has started to give you new life by his Spirit. And after we have fully participated in his death by dying physically, God is going to fully help us, make us participate in the fullness of life that he has given Jesus as well. So remember your baptism, because this event in our lives is a thing that we can hold on to, especially in those moments when we're just not sure of things. We can hold on to it and grasp hold of it as a defining moment of our faith. But then we can look at the rest of this passage in Romans 6. It says this: in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Reflect on this. Reflect on these words this Advent season, that we are dead to sin, but we are alive to God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, this little baby who is born in Bethlehem is the crucified God who has come to die so that you can live. This is what Advent is really all about. This is what the celebration of Christmas is really all about. Reflecting on this baby who has come and lived and died and who lives again and now offers us new life, if we would just take it. The light has shined in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. And indeed, the darkness never will. We're going to celebrate now this truth of Advent by participating in communion together. I'm going to invite Vera up to help pass out the elements. And our communion is very simple. We'll pass out the bread and then and eat it together, partake of it together, and then pass out the juice and eat of it together, but interspersed in there, we'll receive instruction from Scripture on just how to do this. Vera, if you wouldn't mind coming up now.